In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you are a Lutheran, and I'm going to assume most of the people listening are, how did you become a Lutheran? Why are you a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Some people say they were cradle Lutherans, meaning that they were born to Lutheran parents and raised in the Lutheran faith. Some people go a step further and say that they were in utero Lutherans, that they were Lutheran even before they were born. Other people came to the Lutheran expression of Christianity later in life. Maybe my story of how I became a Lutheran might interest you. My father was baptized as an infant, but virtually grew up unchurched. His mother was Roman Catholic and his father was Methodist, and their churches let them know that they did not appreciate them marrying outside of their denomination. So, sadly, they didn't attend anywhere. My mother's family was Lutheran, and she saw to it that I was baptized by a Lutheran pastor. She always said to me, if anyone asks you what religion you are, tell them that you are Lutheran, which was kind of strange because when I was growing up, my family first attended a Disciples of Christ church and then later a Baptist church when I was a teenager. When I ask people how they became Lutheran, many of them will tell me that they married a Lutheran and joined their spouse's church. I am not suggesting marriage as an evangelism strategy, but that's sort of how things worked out for me. Melanie was a lifelong Lutheran, and when we started talking about marriage, I attended her church. We married and we joined a church where we became active. Things kind of clicked for me there. My call to the ministry was discerned, and I went to seminary and was ordained. In seminary, I had an interesting ecumenical experience. My seminary had a cooperative program where I could attend seminaries in the Washington, D.C. area. I spent 2 years there taking classes at the Methodist and the Episcopal seminaries, as well as at the Catholic University of America and Howard Divinity School, the African American seminary. Often I would eat lunch in the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. So I think I have an appreciation for other denominations and their ways, and I can also tell you that you learn your Lutheran doctrine when you know that in class a professor is going to say to you, well, Eric, what do the Lutherans believe about this? Today, two of our scriptures talk about evangelism and divisions in the church. In the gospel, we read how the first disciples followed Jesus and how Jesus told them that he would make them fishers of men. That's our commission too, to evangelize, to make disciples, to help bring people into Christ's kingdom. In the epistle, we read, though, how even in the early church, just a few decades after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, there were already divisions and conflicts in the church. Some people were pledging their allegiance to the evangelist Apollos, some to the apostle Peter, and some to St. Paul. Paul reminds us that we all ultimately belong to Christ. If all Christians do belong to Christ, and we do, why is the word Lutheran in the name of our church? We don't worship Luther or pray to him. We worship and pray to God alone. The name Lutheran was originally a slur toward Luther and those who followed him. Luther said he didn't want us to be called Lutherans. He wanted us to call ourselves Christian. But the name stuck. Well, why do we, who live in Western New York, why are we part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? In the early 1800s, in a territory that's now part of modern-day Germany, the government tried to force all of the Lutheran churches and all of the Reformed churches to merge. The Lutherans would not accept this. Centuries before, Martin Luther had met with the leaders of the Reformed movement, and they talked about their theology. There were differences between the Lutherans and the Reformed that couldn't be resolved. These differences included our understandings about Holy Communion and Christ's atoning death. Luther had hoped for an agreement. He left saying that the Reformed had a different spirit. Rather than compromise and merge, that group of German Lutherans in the 1820s came to the United States and settled in St. Louis, Missouri. They said that they were going to build Zion on the Mississippi. Well, things didn't work out exactly as they planned. But eventually they grew and attracted other Lutherans who took the Lutheran confessions, our Lutheran doctrine, very seriously. And that group of Lutherans expanded across the country. That's why we have Missouri Synod churches in western New York. During Luther's lifetime, and especially after his death, more divisions occurred in the Christian church over matters such as baptism and ministry, and over less important things like personalities and geography. The statistics that I found online said that there are 200 different denominations in the United States, and that seems like too small a number for me from what I've seen. And it also said that there are 45,000 denominations worldwide. I'd believe that number, but of course that is way too much. If we are one in Christ, where is our unity? And what does unity even mean for us? What does Christian unity mean for our congregation and for you, its people? On one hand, anyone who has Jesus Christ as his or her Savior is our brother or sister in Christ. As I always say, you don't have to be Missouri Synod to go to heaven. And then I jokingly add, but why take the chance? And it is only jokingly. There are people of genuine faith in all denominations. God loves us all, and Jesus died for us all. Spoiler alert, there are going to be people in heaven who aren't Lutheran. In the Apostles' Creed, a statement of faith that we subscribe to, we confess, that is, we state our belief in the Holy Christian Church. What are we saying? We are saying that the church is found wherever the gospel is preached and holy baptism and holy communion are rightly celebrated, as it has been since the first. We are saying that we are part of the one church founded by Christ and his apostles. We are part of the body of Christ that transcends denominational lines and also transcends time and space. Maybe some of you learned the creed, as I did, with the word Catholic instead of the word Christian. The word Catholic, with a small c, means universal, and it's a valid translation of the original Greek. However, there is a long-standing tradition in churches of German heritage to say Christian to emphasize our connection to Christ and to other Christians. Perhaps it shouldn't be an issue, but many people, when they hear Catholic, think Roman Catholic, which is one expression of the church. It's the church that we Lutherans came out of. Saying Christian helps prevent that confusion. With those things in mind, we must say that, on the other hand, there are also differences between denominations, and it does us no good to pretend that they are not there or to pretend that those differences aren't important. For instance, I said earlier that Jesus died for all people. Not every Christian church believes that. Now, it isn't my intention to pick on any one denomination, but historically, the churches in the Reformed tradition say that Jesus only died for the people that he chose to save from before the beginning of time, and that Jesus' atoning sacrifice is not available to the people that God has already chosen to condemn. We believe, as Scripture says, that God wills for all people to be saved by the cross, but that some people, for unexplicable reasons, refuse that salvation. That's a big difference. If you weren't sure that Christ died for you, if you weren't sure that you were one of his chosen, you would probably live in constant fear and anxiety. If who is and who isn't a part of God's family has already been decided and nothing can change that, then why bother to do evangelism? Could we love a God who loves some people and not others for no good reason? These differences are not insignificant. They are not hair-splitting or debating how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. They are serious issues about our faith and eternal life. What else is distinctive about Missouri Synod Lutherans? What makes us different from other denominations and even some other Lutherans? You can probably guess what I'm going to say. We believe that the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God. Not all denominations do. People will say that they believe in the Bible insofar as it agrees with science. Well, what they really mean then is that they believe in science. Some people will say they believe in the Bible insofar as it agrees with their personal morality. What they are really saying is that they are smarter and more moral than God, and they think that they can overrule the Bible. I would not want to be in the position of reading the Bible and having to decide for myself, is this true? Is this accurate? Do I have to believe this? I would not want to have to put up for a vote proposals as to what we're going to teach in Sunday school and in catechism classes. Submitting ourselves to the Word of God is not anti-intellectual or a denial of our personal freedom. It is something we do freely because our intellect understands the nature of Scripture and the positive consequences of living as the Bible says. When we believe the Word, we know the truth, and then we are truly free. Another Lutheran distinctive is our belief in the power of the sacraments that comes from Christ's real presence there. Baptism claims us as God's child. In Holy Communion, we receive the forgiveness of sins. These are not just symbols, but the power of God working in us through physical means. Again, who would want to go through life wondering, what proof do I have that God loves me? Is my faith really sincere? Did I repent hard enough? Have I done enough for God to bless me? The sacraments give us tangible, physical proof that we are loved and forgiven. So, how do we Missouri Synod Lutherans relate to Christians of other denominations with love and respect? Certainly, there are things Christians can do together to serve the common good and spread the name of Christ. But love doesn't mean that we have to agree on everything. You can love someone and disagree with them. Disagreeing doesn't mean that you hate them or that you're afraid of them. We don't have to support and endorse anything that's done in the name of Christianity that we know doesn't fit with the Bible. When we know that it goes against what we know to be true. We Lutherans have been blessed with a specific understanding of God's word and a specific message to share with the world for the greater glory of God and for the increase of his kingdom. It would be wrong and unloving to not share that message with everyone so that they can know and have a deeper experience of confident faith in God's love and forgiveness. So if I and if we are intentional in sharing our Lutheran expression of the Christian faith, it's not because we're trying to prosper our brand or because we think we're superior to others. It is because we want all people to share in the joy and the peace and the love that we have found for Christ. That is why we fish for men. Amen.